You know what I learned last night? You ready for this? This is the dumbest. I'm sorry that I'm like this.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
You're listening to Sapnin Podcast.
Sapnin!
You are listening to episode 284 of Sapnin Podcast, featuring myself, Sean Smith, and my good friend, Morgan Richards.
Yes, it's me, Morgan Richards, and you might have great expectations on this, but it's one for the history books, full of American slang.
Yeah, that works. Do you know what? I'll give you that one. That was the least jarring one you've ever fucking done.
Yeah.
As you probably haven't guessed from those puns, but you do know because you've clicked on a link to Gaia, this week's guest is the brilliant, the hilarious Brian Fallon of the Gaslight Anthem, Horrible Crows, Brian Fallon, just being an all-round fucking absolute rock and roll legend.
Literally. And I love that we are this long into doing this and still knocking names off the bucket list of dream guests. We haven't had to stop and cry laugh as hard than at any other time than on this one. What an absolutely unhinged conversation. I have a great passion for Brian Fallon as a songwriter, as a storytelling, emotional lyricist. I think he's up there next to some of the greatest to ever do it. I've spent many nights putting on Gaslight Anthem vinyls, his solo records on, and or just having them blasting in my headphones while traveling up and down the country. It really seems that he has a new lease on life since the band's return full-time in 2022. And throughout this conversation, we just have a great laugh talking absolute nonsense, trading stories, and bringing up things you never expected the three of us to really mention.
Yes, this was Sapnin Podcast's first ever mention of an axolotl.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
I know all you axolotl fans who tweeted us at Sapnin Pod on Twitter, Instagram, on any of the other TikTok as well, they've all been meshing us saying, come on, boys, get a mention of axolotls in. Guess what? It's fucking finally happened. Here we fucking go. Yes, we talk everything with Brian, from Gaslight Anthem to hanging out with Jonathan Bon Jovi, Bruce Springsteen's choice of pizza, which to me doesn't sound that American, but how Brian would like to fight My Chemical Romance. I won't say any more than that, but fucking, I wouldn't like to be My Chemical Romance. Also, he mentioned Damon Albarn at Coachella having a whinge. If you guys haven't seen that, you know British indie rockers Blur? Well, they went over to America where they were never huge in the first place, played Coachella and whinged because the young crowd who was probably there to see Billie Eilish or one of them new pop acts. Look at me, I've turned into an old man. Because he didn't sing along to Blur songs, Damon Albarn has an issue fit, and that's what Brian does refer to later in the conversation. I just wanted to make that clear, but just in case it doesn't come through 100%, because we were all enjoying ourselves so much, we were consistently talking over each other and laughing.
But literally, he just came on, he got the vibe, and he's just going to actually have a go at us about a few things as well.
That's true.
And there's mentions, as everything Sean said, to the New Jersey music scene, his tattoos, Jersey Shore, the punk ethos. and so much more. He doesn't try to sell us anything, but just to keep his team happy, I should mention that their new album, History Books, is available now. They've released a follow-up EP called Short Stories, where they've covered Billie Eilish, of all people. And they're returning to the UK in July to headline 2000 Trees Festival. But before we get into this conversation, we're trying something a little bit different for the month of May. So we're teaming up with our good friends at Pins and Knuckles Merchandise to try and highlight roles within the music and touring industries that are critically underappreciated. So Pins and Knuckles are a merchandise company offering quality solutions at affordable prices, from everything of band merch to branding, backdrops, you name it. By musicians, backdrops. For musicians.
They do backdrops. They do backdrops. Oh, I'll have a look into that. Cool, carry on.
But really, the whole focus is the community aspect of the scene. They love supporting new things in music, the alternative world, and just the people in it. So throughout this month, in the outros, we're going to be selecting certain job roles within the scene and discussing them and how important they are to band life and the fans' perspective. So trying something a little bit different. Stay tuned throughout for that.
Pins and Knuckles have helped us with our merchandise before. I'd like to thank them very much for the support and for helping us out. If you enjoyed this episode, or you've listened to other episodes and enjoyed them, please think about checking out our Patreon, patreon.com/sapnin. It's the best and only way, basically, to support your boys and keep this bastard going. We have built somehow an amazing community on our Patreon, and the group is growing and getting better and stronger than ever. If you'd like to meet some new friends to go to gigs with, it is the absolute perfect place to get involved. Again, patreon.com/sapnin.
Well, without any further ado, let's put on some blue jeans, white t-shirts, and listen to the wonderful Brian Fallon of the Gaslight Anthem on episode 284 of Sapnin Podcast.
Sapnin! Do I have to put a white t-shirt on? I've only really got that Twin Town one. And I'll put it on anyway.
Life is full of awesome what ifs, and some not so much, like unexpected medical costs. That's why United Healthcare provides Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans to supplement your primary plan and help manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weight loss. That's PlushCare.com/weight loss. PlushCare.com/weight loss.
Sapnin!
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 Yes!
Yes! Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, gender progressives, our guest this week is someone we've wanted on for a very, very long time. The wonderful, the beautiful, the inspirational, Brian Fallon. Brian, how are you?
I'm well, how are you?
Good, man. Yeah. Good.
Yeah, not bad. Chuffed that we finally got some time with you. So, yeah, thank you very much for giving your time to us.
Yeah, of course. Thanks for having me on.
Oh, honestly, our pleasure. We know so many people listening to this right now will be very excited and ecstatic that this has finally happened. So, appreciate you taking the time. But How's things just going in the Fallon household lately? What's your day-to-day like? How's just your day going?
The day is good. It's new. It's early. It's not early, but it's 10. 10 a.m. That's not early. But it's, today is like one of those days where you have to do the meetings. You have to do meetings. So after this, I got to go drive somewhere to meet somebody. And it's basically because I didn't get famous enough to say, now you have to come to me. So that's really how it's going, I'll be honest with you. That's how it's going. So I got to do some work on TikTok, which is now banned in my country. Good morning, I guess.
Oh, yeah.
I think it is. I think I woke up this morning, I'm seeing memes. So that must mean something happened.
Yeah, how does that work now then? Are the government going to come around your house and delete it off your phone? What's?
I mean, I haven't talked to him yet, but I'm going to get there today. It's on my list. I'm going to call Joe Biden up and say, I got to talk to you. You're going to be dead soon, but I got to deal with TikTok for a long time. No disrespect to Joe over there, but he looks old. Got to be pushing, 42?
If you're driving to meet someone later, does that mean that they are technically more famous than you, and that's why you're going to them? Because surely
no, they're in fancy music business people. So basically, they have something I want, so I need to get them to work for us, and I got to get some of that for me because I'm not. You know, we never got rich. So we still have to do like normal stuff, like, you know, sell blind and whatever to like pay our bills. So I got to get this. I got to get some fancy people working for us. You know, I got a new manager now. Mean Dave's manager. Can you believe it?
Ooh.
Never heard of Lord? I was like, I want to be royals. I'll hire you. This is true. This is all true. None of this is a lie. It's all true. Very sexy managers, and they're going to love that I talked about this. They're going to say, because they always say, we don't exist.
And there's you saying how sexy they are. But yeah, how did that, did you choose them on their sexiness, or was it because they've got Green Day?
I'm going to be honest with you, I'm not proud of this, but we had a bunch of managers line up in a row, and we just chose the sexiest one.
Never mind the resumes, never mind the bands, it was just the appearance. No.
So, actually, the bands were the actual sexy factor. So, do I want to be like any of your bands? And there was a bunch of them where the answer was yes, but this particular one, and they were from New Jersey. It was I don't know. Come on.
Yeah, all right.
Keep it in the streets. Keep it in the streets. You know what I'm saying?
I would ask what bands you don't want to be like, but I think that could get down
some trouble.
Well, I don't want to be like the ones that had to to change too much or do something crazy to like. There's a lot of bands I think have had to like. Remember when like grunge was huge, and then like all these like metal bands tried to get like a little bit grunge, and it was not pretty.
Nope, not at all. Yeah. There was even points where some metal bands were like, I hate new metal. And then after a while, they were like, I'll give it a go, though.
I mean, it's not horrible. Like, I don't hate it. I mean, I'm a long time metal guy since like 86. But like, I do like, when, you know, he says, are you ready and all that, please? I'm like, I'm in.
I am definitely ready. Yes,
yeah,
Jonathan.
Yeah, I'm ready. We're ready. Wah-ka-ka-ka, whatever you want to say, do it. Love it.
Yeah, whatever that gibberish you're saying in the middle of the song is, yeah, carry on.
Yeah, I love it. You want to make noises and play heavy music? I love it. Give me it. Give me it all. I'm like, I should be on Download Fest. I could be on commercial.
Yes, you should. You should host it.
Yeah, I should host it. You know what? I'm hosting Download soon. Right. I would love that. Would be nothing would bring me more joy than to like host a festival and like say something before every band. I definitely would get beat up by the end of the day.
Yeah, get procedurally more drunk as the day goes on until you're like, yeah, oh, yeah, Yeah, they come and they're going to fucking break stuff. It's Limp Bizkit. Yeah. Hey, Fred. You old man.
It's just Roses. Come on now. I would give me something break. I love it. I love that. When they do that song, I get so pumped. Sabotage, BC Boys, love it. I would burn a house down if they played that the right volume.
Yeah, lucky you weren't at Woodstock 99, man, because that could have been much worse.
No, I don't. That's not my thing. That's too much fire. Like, that was scary. There was too many people with their shirts off. Like, I was never, even as a teenager, when I was young and very sexy, I never wanted to be with my shirt off for any amount of time. I don't know why. I never felt like, I never got that America gene, you know, that they got, maybe in Texas.
I'm the same over here. Me and Sean went to Miami recently and we went in the ocean and I was fully in a vest in the ocean because I was like, no one needs to see this without cover.
No, you put a little like, I mean, first of all, the color alone of me will blind you. It's why there's no, I could, there are people in all of Ireland, Northern Ireland, they can't compete with me at all. I'm going solar.
Yeah, you're almost blue.
I'm almost blue. Listen, like an axolotl.
Oh, that's the first time we brought up axolotl on this podcast. I know that much. Yeah. That's fucking brilliant.
There you go. Hey, you know what I learned last night? You ready for this? This is the dumbest. I'm sorry that I'm like this, but axolotls can grow all their body parts again, including parts of their brain.
Wow. Well, I didn't know that, no.
And I tell you, that made me mad because I said, how did humans stop? Like, what's this about? We stopped, we didn't get that evolution thing. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah, think how much better Black Sabbath could have been if Tony Iommi could have grown a finger back.
Fingertips, you know what I mean? Look, Ozzy, see?
Nice, there you go.
I told you, Download Festival. Here
I can't wait.
No, come. Hey, you can just come with us. We're going to be there. We can sort you out.
Yeah, we can sneak him on the main stage. Easy.
Oh, well, I didn't expect this to be the cut excited it is, but I'm glad it has gotten here. I was going to mention that, obviously, you're not far from just coming back from our side of the pond, doing a big tour in the UK and Europe. How was it being just getting back into playing these shows and how was the experience being back over here?
It was great. I mean, it's always great because the audience over there is true, you know, music fans, and there's something about it where I don't know if they're just like paying attention more or they're just more interested in music, but there's such a like an excitement that goes on that you don't find in all parts of, you know, of our side of the pond. It's just like different where people do. I mean, people do get excited here, but not the same way, not so consistently. Where I think it's just people are pumped and it makes you feel good. It makes you feel like, wow, all right, people like me. Okay. You always come back from an American tour very tired, but a UK tour, you know, Europe tour, you feel very excited when you come back.
Yeah, perhaps it's just like not knowing when you're coming back, really, and when they're going to get the chance to see you again. Maybe it's that excitement.
Yeah.
Yeah, because they're not the same with British bands, so that's great.
Really? Well, I'll tell you. I mean, Damon felt it hard in Coachella. So that was America on a plane. I don't understand that. They were not excited. So, I get it. So maybe it's just that. Maybe they don't like English bands.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, maybe all us British bands would move away to America. And then threaten never to come back, and then they'll start to be excited for us more.
Yeah, I mean, you should write that. Yes, that's good. Are they really breaking up? Is that it? We're done?
Right.
Hey, what are you, sworn to secrecy? What's he in the room? What, are you scared?
Yeah, he's just off camera, just here. Shut up, man. Shut up.
He's coming on the podcast next week. Sorry. Yeah. Hey, David. Good job.
Yeah, he's on straight after you, actually.
I Well, that's awesome. I love the gorillas. It's great. Great stuff. You know what? This is good stuff, I think. I don't know. I will tell you that Coachella crowd is tough as a rock band. Tough.
Yeah.
Yeah, oh, I bet. Seeing Taking Back Sunday have been getting a lot of stick for their set as well. It's just weird, like how different crowds can react to those things.
Yeah, what I didn't hear about that. I saw Damon talking, which I didn't think was that bad. But the other Grimes, the set went bad, the equipment went bad. That sucks in front of a festival. That's hard.
Yeah. Well, you say equipment went bad. All she had to do was divide by two. So her problem was the decks said they were faster, double the time that they were. So all she would have had to have done is divide by two, but somehow she couldn't work that out.
Yeah, really?
Despite having a robot's baby name. So that's a good
one. Anything. It's DJ equipment.
Yeah.
For us, I mean, we played it a while ago. It was like, you know, I mean, kind of, it's just like, it's hot and dusty, and you're standing in front of a bunch of people who are waiting for whatever else is going on, not you. So it's not, it's just not a place. Like, unless you're like the Red Hot Chili Peppers or like Foo Fighters or somebody massive, you know, like No Doubt or whatever, like they play. Like, I just don't think it's a place for like your like average mid-level band, like your like rock bands like that. Maybe I'm not trying to say anything against it, because I don't think that every festival has to be inclusive of every genre ever, you know? And I just think that like the rock people should just be like, yeah, we'll do a different festival. Like, maybe we'll skip Coachella, because Coachella seems to have its thing. And there's nothing wrong with Coachella having a different thing that doesn't have rock music in it.
Yeah, very true. Very true. But speaking of that UK and European tour, I mean, it felt like you guys have been having so much fun lately back on stage and just doing the odd random covers. I had a friend who went all the way to Copenhagen to see you, and she sent me a clip of you like riffing out to Metallica, like all these little things in between. But like, would you say there's being a shift in the perspective, attitude, and maybe appreciation internally for Gaslight ever since you've come back off this hiatus and returned as a full-time band?
Oh, yeah, 100%. I think that like when things go away for a while, but also when you have like a massive worldwide pandemic where you can't do anything, you get like more appreciative of what you do, especially when you like realize it is when you come back. It's cool. And you get to like experience something that you might have missed the first time around. Cause you know, like the first time around, I mean, Sam could tell you too, that it's like, it's a lot. When stuff is happening for your band, it's a lot, and it happens all the time. And you're learning, like, as all these people are coming at you with, you're like learning how to do interviews, and you're learning how not to say stupid things, and you're learning how to, like, you're not talking to your friends, you know? And it's just a different, it's a whole, I don't know. You're learning constantly, and then you're like making mistakes too, you know? And like, I think there's tons of things. And like, I think I just said Sam and I meant Sean. So there's that. And I think there's like, right? Like, there's tons of things you're doing, and you have to like learn to with these things and not sort of get hung up on them. And, but also too, like, your audience is getting bigger and people are saying, you know, like you pretty much like live like a teenager, you know, like you're running around in a van all day or a bus or whatever, and that's fine. And like, there's hard parts, but most of the day you're pretty much left to do whatever you want. And you know, you start like dyeing your hair and getting tattoos on your face. It's cool. But like, when you're taken away and you have to go back into like regular life, and then you get to do it again, that's like where you really start going, I better not mess this up this time.
Yeah, well, I know that now because last year my band that I was previously telling you about got back together. So yeah, we've got like a new lease of life on it, a new excitement. We're all older men now. We're just like, oh, I can't believe we're gonna get this chance again. This is fucking nuts. So we did our first tour, and we were expecting, I don't know, 500 people to turn up, and we did theatres in the UK. So yeah, it was
great.
So grateful, like so grateful for another shot at it, and kind of jaded towards the end of the first run of the blackout. Like I was just kind of like losing hope in it, I guess. And then to come back and to feel that and see that people give a shit and cared, it was amazing. And yeah, it just gave me a new hunger. Try and, like you said, keep it going and try and do something with it. It's been a mad year. It's been a mad, mad year coming back.
Yeah. It's great though. I mean, you never know if you guys are excited, you know, that could be the thing where you do something even better than you ever did in the past, you know, as long as you stay excited, it's, you know how it is.
Yeah.
It's cool.
I think as well, like you and the rest of the guys were in such a weird circumstance because you were all doing other projects. You all had the stuff that you could focus on. I know you all miss the band, but you know, your life was busy. You had, in particular, had such a new lease on your musical side with the solo albums and getting to do so many things with them that you never expected. How would you compare both of those sides to you? I mean, do you see every project as like a different chapter, a different element of your life, or is it all just blended into this weird experience of life that you just can't break down?
No, I think it's all... I sort of go by what's right in front of me, you know, so whatever I'm working on at the time, it feels like, but it does feel like chapters, you know, like each one is like a thing. But, you know, there's another thing too, that we sort of realized, like with the band is, you know, you can always kind of bring more into the band, you know, like our band is one of those things, which I think I'm pretty grateful for, that we sort of, you know, had like on our first record, we had like acoustic songs and things that like maybe like a lot of punk bands didn't do. And it sort of allowed us to and gave us permission later on to do a lot more stuff. So, you know, we kind of had that thing where we could say, all right, we could do something that's maybe not considered directly punk, you know?
Do you think like being raised on that music as well, especially like that punk ethos where sometimes it can be a little bit judgmental if you don't stick to something or you change ever so slightly. Do you think like the realization is you don't need to do that has helped so much with all your projects?
Yeah, but I think too, the main thing about that is like, I always felt like the punk thing was too, a lot of it was believing in yourself.
Mm.
And, you know, I think like saying like, why can't I do it? You know, like the whole DIY ethic sort of said to me, well, yeah, why can't I do it? So anything that, you know, even if it was like the scene that I was coming from saying like, oh, you shouldn't do that. I was like, I didn't come here for rules. You know, I came here to like do my own thing and think my own thoughts. So it's sort of, I was fortunate enough to come up in that scene where people had like, you know, the Bouncing Souls and Hot Water Music and Avail and those bands, they were much more open-minded, even, you know, bands like Leatherface and that kind of thing. They were more open-minded to other stuff, you know? Just punk.
Yeah, of course, of course. I remember I got the chance to interview you many moons ago at Reading Festival 2016. So it was just...
That's probably, sorry about that. Sorry
about
that.
Oh, no, it was good. We had a good laugh. You were telling me how excited you were to actually like play last on the stage rather than like on the main stage in the middle of the day. So you were pretty happy with that.
I love that.
But one of the things that I took away from it was you were just saying like at the end of Gaslight, you didn't know what was going to happen. You didn't have like this grand plan to go and make a solo record or anything. And you weren't even considering like going back to work on cars or like do mechanic stuff or things like that. Like how close were you to that stage of your life? And like, how different did you see these solo records now that that's given you a whole other notch into your belt as a songwriter?
Well, I mean, I don't know how long. It came up pretty quick because, I mean, I think I just said, like, well, I can't do anything. I'm not good at anything else except for music, so I had to do something. And so, you know, I do think it gave me a lot of perspective going through that whole time and then saying, like, well, you know, you can really do a lot here. People have sort of accepted a lot of things from us and me. And they, you know, the general ability of our fan base and like people and just embracing what we're doing is pretty wild. And like, I think that kind of thing showed me a lot where you're like, wow, you know, they really will stick by you through whatever your next thing is, which is pretty, pretty rare, you know?
Yep. I found that out the hard way by quitting a band and restarting a new one. And people went, nah, I'm all right. And I was like, oh shit, please. Congratulations, Brian. I'm very, very jealous. So, well,
I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
It's nothing to be sorry for. No, it's nothing to be sorry for. Congratulations. Promise myself I wouldn't cry. Yeah. Sorry, Mo. Go on.
Is there anything you've really learned from yourself in the years post Gaslight that maybe you didn't expect?
No, nothing. I was perfect. As is. Of course, yeah. You learn, like, I mean, the main thing I learned was the appreciation for the band and how rare it is and how, you know, that's the thing too. It's like, I think once you're doing it and you're doing it for such a long time, you sort of forget like how really special it is to be able to do that. Because I think there's so many bands who they try, and for, you know, sometimes bands don't. They don't get a chance, not because they weren't good enough. They just didn't have the right connection or whatever. They didn't know the right person. And I think that really was weighing heavy on me, how lucky we were to be able to be in that position, to be in a band.
I'm sure the little things as well can be taken for granted when you see like how many people have like your lyrics tattooed on them, for example. Like there's many people in friendship groups I have that is a common thread. Like it must be weird in the moment, you know, you're kind of just going past everything, but when you take that second to stop and think, that's such a crazy thing.
Yeah, that's pretty humbling when that's one thing that you kind of are like, wow. And I don't, you know, but in a way too, it inspires you to continue. Like not in a pressure way, but when I see somebody who has like our lyrics tattooed on them, or like a logo of like the Gaslight Anthem or something, or a song, it inspires me to not mess that up in the future, you know, to like to honor what they've invested of their own life, and not in a pressure way, like not in a bad way, but in a really good way, that to say like, okay, make sure you know, you got people really backing you. So like, you got to really put your 100% and more in there, and not get lazy about it.
It would stop me from committing crimes as well, I guess. I would be like, oh, I was going to rob this store, but somebody I will be letting somebody down. So I better not.
Well, you know, you never know. You never know. I mean, I always think about, like, I think about Ozzy, you know, a lot, where the one thing I remember about being from Ozzy is being a kid. He would just be yelling every minute, I love you. I love you guys. Like, you're the greatest. Like, every concert, this guy would tell you he loved you more than your mother. And it was like, I don't know. That kind of gratefulness, I think, it really sticks to me a lot, especially now, you know.
Is there ever been anything weird you've had to sign, or like a weird form of a tattoo they've asked you to plan out, or like, really had to be careful of the way you were writing these lyrics, or a picture or something mad like that?
What do you mean? Like a vagina or a boob? Is that what you're saying?
Like a drawing. Like if they are like
a set of nuts, like a big set of nuts. No.
I've signed a man's winky before. No, I have signed
I never
a man's.
Did I missed a lot of things, you know. I never signed a butt. I never signed a wiener. Never signed a vagina. Never signed a balls. Never signed a. I never signed a titty. Never. So, but yeah, I mean, there's been like tattoos that are like beautifully done, and they're, you know, they're really nice, and then I like write on it with a magic marker in the rain outside of the O2, you know, and then I'm like, I don't know what I'm writing, but I'm just like. Okay, really. And I've seen some of them come back and go, oh man, I wish I used a thinner pen, you know? But what can you do? You know, it's fine. What can you do? People love it. They love it. I mean, if I had, you know, if I was getting like a tattoo of somebody's signature that I liked, I would be, you know, I wouldn't care if it was in a big old Sharpie.
Yeah,
that's true. That's true. Have you got anybody other than Ozzy's name? Have you got anybody's lyrics or anything else tattooed on you?
Yeah, that's funny. Ozzy's the only one. I got Stay Free on my knuckles, which is a Clash, and then I got a bunch of Bouncing Souls ones, like old ones, and then I got Hot Water Music, a couple of those, and I think, like, lyric-wise, that's pretty much it, I think. I got weird tattoos. I do have a giant, the cover of In Utero, giant. Like, the wow. Girl.
Yeah.
Yeah, I have that.
Wow.
Wow. Really special stuff, guys. Really.
No,
wow.
No.
We're enjoying it. We're taking it in. We're taking it in, man.
For fuck's sake, fans.
I got stuff. I got... I got this, I got that, corn, whatever you want.
I've got Are You Ready above my willy, just shaved in there.
Oh, that would be good.
Yeah, come on, three stripes all the way down as well. Nice.
Wow, you thought about this.
I've got it. It's, you know.
Incredible.
Yeah, I won't show you my chocolate starfish and hot dog flavored water tattoo, because that's in a bad place.
Wow.
Yeah, that's in a bad place. But yeah. No, I genuinely meant wow when you said massive In Utero tattoo.
Oh, yeah, I got it. It's okay.
Where is it? You say it's massive. Where is it?
It's like from my knee, like halfway up my leg. So it's like, it's pretty big. It's like a big thing. It's cool. It's really good stuff. Great.
This is what we love. We love getting shit from our guests. That's what, you know, more of this is what we need.
Yeah,
we don't get put in our place enough. So thank you very much, Bri. We've needed this.
It's all good.
This is going to be the first episode that goes out once a month now after this, because we can't face to do it every Friday.
Too scared.
Yeah. The numbers will pick right up when Damon comes on. It's going to be great. Might even have to hold on after it. It'll be great. You have a whole thing.
Yeah, literally. But one thing I did want to talk about, just because if this is all true, the madness of this sentence is worth bringing up alone. Like, obviously, there was a time in between Gaslight where you were umming and ahhing. You didn't know if you wanted to bring the band back or not and all this. Is it true that due to conversations with the Goo Goo Dolls, Bon Jovi, and a phone call with Bruce Springsteen, that they were all like, what the fuck are you doing? Get Gaslight back together.
No. But here's what happened. I know. You know what sucks is that everybody likes to give them the already famous the credit. Like, let me tell you who doesn't need a stipend for the week is Bruce Springsteen or the Goo Goo Dolls or John Bon Jovi. But listen, this is what happened. So I decided with my beautiful wife alone in the car, poor, no money, no Bruce Springsteen. I said, I think I should get the band back together. And she's like, what are you talking about? Really? Are you serious? And this is out of nowhere. And then we were on our way, as you do in New Jersey, to a diner to meet John Bon Jovi and John Resnick. I did not meet all of the Goo Goo Dolls. That would be ridiculous. I only met one. I only met the one that counts, John. And so we go and sit down, and I'm sitting there talking about, I'm not telling them anything that I said in the car about this. And John Bon Jovi's like, you know, and John Resnick, they're like, your band is great. Your band is a great, great band. I love the songs. And I'm like, what are you talking about? You guys are massive hits, massive. I'm like, God, let me Google you real quick. You could just read. Here, see how famous you are. What are you talking to me for? And then telling me like what big fans they are of the band. And then, so I was thinking like, well, I just started thinking about starting the band up. And then they're saying this. I'm like, this has got to be like a sign, you know, like New Jersey royalty. I'm like, all it would take is Bruce to come along. So what I do is like the next day, I never text Bruce Springsteen because I don't want to, I don't want to bother him and I don't want to lose the privilege. You know what I mean? So I never ask him for anything. But I text him for this and I said, I got to talk to you about the band. What I go, I got to talk to you. He goes, sure. Meet me on Thursday. I say, great. So I go and I leave, the thing with John Bon Jovi. Oh, and by the way, it was no big deal. It was just for the governor. It was for the governor of New Jersey. I'm getting the keys to New Jersey. When these guys move yes. out. So I'm going to change my name to Johnny New Jersey.
New Johnsy.
So I call Bruce and we go for pizza, his choice. Because you can't really say where you're going to go. You got to let Bruce choose. And then we go and I talk to him. I said, look, you know, there's this thing that sucks and this thing that sucks and this and this and this and this. How do you do this? How do you put a band back together of grown ass men? 10 years later, he's like, well, I've done just a thing, you know, and he did. He did just a thing. So, you know, he's telling me all this advice and all these things. And I'm like, okay. And then I go, all right, so this is a good move, right? And he's like, yeah. So that's three very famous people telling me it was a good idea. So it was not their idea that I'll have you know. That was mine.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you tell the NME or whoever said that, spilling that around the country, I'll set it straight.
Yeah, apparently it's Bruce Springsteen. Actually, he was on last week's episode and he told us, he was like, oh, he said to me, boys, have you heard of the Gaslight Anthem? I got them back together, he said.
That was all me. Born to Run, Born in the USA, the Gaslight Anthem, all me. I'm like, come on. I know, come on, Bruce. I'm like, we've already stolen all your songs. I've got to take the credit for everything.
Oh God!
What's Bruce Springsteen's pizza choice? That's my question.
You know, he did get something. He got an unexpected choice. He got mushrooms and sausage.
What?
Which I was like, what the hell kind of pizza is that? I was like, we got pepperoni.
Yeah, that's not very American. Like
mushrooms and sausage. Like,
yeah, where was he born?
Probably Italy. Who knows? But. It was born in New Jersey. Where do you think?
Yeah, he's written a song about it. I know where he was born. He wrote a song about it.
He's born in the USA. I was born in a pizzeria. I got to say, you know, it strikes me funny every time I think about this that Bono was not also born in New Jersey. Because he's got a very New Jersey vibe.
To be fair.
He's got his hair slicked back. He's got the glasses, you know?
Yeah, he could be very much in, yeah. The New Jersey elite, like.
Yeah, mysterious ways.
What are three signs from the universe to say that the idea you were having was good? And I know there's being so much thing online about people.
It wasn't from the universe. We're New Jersey. We're all Irish Catholics. It was from God himself. He came down and he said, you know what I need? I got the New York Yankees, and now I need the Gaslight Anthem. I'm God. I'm going to create it. And then he put this stuff in there. Hey, universe, get out of here. This is the hand of God, like Maradona. You know what I'm saying? The Gaslight Anthem and Maradona together forever.
If you don't do a line of Argentinian football shirts with that now, I mean,
yeah. Oh, you.
That's what we're doing. That's what we already got. They're printing right now.
Oh, that's so good. I'm crying, boys. Sorry.
I did want to talk to you about the iconic nature of the New Jersey scene, though, because, like, I don't know what it is, but over the years, there's always seems to be this magic in the air in terms of songwriting from that place. And people just, especially all over the world, fall in love with artists that come out of that place. We asked Mikey Way of My Chemical Romance this when he came on, and I feel like it should be the same asking you because you represent a slightly different side, but like there's so many different scenes, there's so many stuff going
more,
on.
More real, a purer side. You gotta say, I'm a purer. My soul is purer New Jersey than Mikey, so he lives up north, past the bridge. Let's be honest with this. Come on. I think he lives in LA now. So let's not, this is not, I've never, I'm still right here in the dirty Jersey Shore. Me and Snooki.
You and Snooki.
Bada bing, gabagool.
You and the situation. Do you ever see the situation? Yeah. Is he still about?
Yeah, we high five all the time. No, I never see it though.
Yeah, me, Bruce, John, and the situation. The Mike, situation? We go for pizza.
Yeah. That seems nice.
It's not a bad day out.
He seems nice. Yeah. That's fucking brilliant. He doesn't seem nice.
My point was trying to be, what do you think about just the music that comes out of New Jersey in particular resonates with people just everywhere? Like there's something, there must be something in the New Jersey air.
There is. And I think it's just, you know, I mean, aside from that, God himself chose us as his own country, New Jersey. I understand. But it's just, well, you know what? It's because we're always living in the shadow of New York and we're always kind of trying to do our own thing. And like, you know, even those guys, like I kid around, but those guys in my cam and all those like Thursday and the Bouncing Souls and all the bands from here, you know, they're really like, they had to work and they had to really do it, you know, and get in the van and, you know, Frank from my cam is still in the punk scene, you'll still see him at basement shows, you know, in New Jersey. And like, it's just, they're good people. I don't know. It's like kind of salt of the earth. Like I can't really, I don't know why, but it's like, it's basically like we're like Seattle, but without all the connections. So we don't have a friend who's making a movie called Singles where we all get famous. So we're just not famous. We're just like, it's just Bruce coming out and now we're just, to, you know, burn in hell. That's really all we're doing. I don't know. I don't know what it is. I don't know. I think it's the struggle. It's like, you know, you got that struggle of like, you really don't have, you're always like living in the shadow of something else. Like I said, like New York City and all that. And like, it's kind of like a, you know, the rest of the country kind of goes, New Jersey. And then they get here and they go, it's pretty nice. And then that's like, you know, but it's just one. It's the underdog thing, you know. It's like it's the way of the future, and also the Garden of Eden is here. I know they can't find it, and it's not in the Bible, but really, it's here. And Adam and Eve got kicked out for not being awesome enough. So that's the truth. They couldn't rock. You know what I mean? They couldn't rock. They wouldn't bark at the moon. God kicked them out. Boom. That's it. See you later, losers.
Fucking brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. Mushroom and sausage, though. Mushroom and sausage.
I know. Mushroom and sausage. And I gotta tell you, there might have been a pepper on there.
Ooh.
Which, I'm not sure if there was a pepper on there. But I remember being mushrooms. I remember him asking me if I wanted a slice, and I looked down at it, and I went, no. I don't want that.
Perhaps he could, perhaps that's his key to the Springsteen powers. Perhaps it's that combination of foods in that order.
It could be. You never know. I mean, what do I know? He's famous, Amos. I got to talk to him about that. Mm. I say, what's the key? What's the key to the juice? I say, what's the juice, boss? He'll tell me.
Oh, yeah. I just realized that everyone has to call him boss. That's mad. Like, he's literally everybody's employer. That's bonkers.
Yeah, the boss. He's the boss.
Well, he's actually playing not far from us in a couple of weeks, so maybe we should just stand outside the venue with mushroom and sausage pizza and see if he turns up.
He'd love that.
Yeah, he'll love it. He'll love it. He'll definitely, you know what? He'll definitely come. That's the trick. He'll definitely come.
See, I knew sending emails to try and book him on the podcast wouldn't work. Just bring a pizza outside the massive stadium he's playing.
Yeah. It's like he'll definitely smell it from soundcheck.
You just get a whiff. Yeah, it's like it's like a Scooby-Doo cartoon. You just get a whiff. A big whiff of pizza comes up to his nose and he's like, there's people outside I need to speak to. Yes, Bruce, yes. I knew you better than you. Yes. You said that Bruce chose the pizza place. Is that his go-to one, or is it just what he was...
No, well, it's owned by his late keyboard player, Danny's parents. It's called Federici's Pizza in Freehold, and it's like it's awesome. It's probably the best pizza. I would say Federici's and Federico's and Vic's in Asbury are the best pizza. That's good. That's good stuff. And there's this other place called Killer Slice. It's also awesome. Or Killer Pie. Killer Pie, maybe. Killer Pie or Killer Slice. One of them two. I think it's Killer Pie.
Well, next time we're in New Jersey, we're going to check out all these pizza places and we'll let you know which one we reckon is best.
Yeah, you tell everybody. You come back and talk about it on the podcast. I'll be here. I'm here. Ready to go. Yeah, me in the situation. We'll do it.
Oh, Big Mike. Oh, I'd love that.
Big Mike. What about Paulie D?
Oh, Jesus Christ. Have you ever thought about a blowout? I think a blowout would suit you.
I think about it all the time.
Of course you do. Of course you do. We all do. This is the closest I can get.
It's what I was trying to do. Right? Did I do it right?
Yeah. What are you saying? I don't have a blowout?
Yeah. What are you saying?
Oh,
I swear to God, this has been the funniest one we've ever done. Thank you very much for this.
As we start to wind down on the conversation a little bit, we ask this question to artists every now and again, but I think you're definitely going to have a good answer. Is the weirdest place you've played a gig? So like a lot of musicians end up in venues that normally aren't really a venue. Is there being any situations where you've rocked up and been like, we're playing here? What is this?
Yeah, we played in Berlin. We played at a donor kebab house, like right in there on the floor. And it was not cool. And we pulled up. This was like right, you know, right in the beginning of everything. And we got out of the van and we're like, all right, great, a venue. And then we walk in and we're like, this is a restaurant. And it was a donor shop, and it was not, you could get kebab if you wanted, but they did not have any mushroom and sausage pizza.
No way. Yeah. The rider is chicken or lamb. That's all the meat you could have. That's it.
They were displeased that we showed up.
Oh, who booked it?
How did that happen? How does that come about?
The punks booked it. Because this is what happens when you're punk. You know, you're like, you're doing it yourself. So sometimes you got to have a show, and there's no show. You got to have the show in the kebab place. That's what you got to do. So we, this was like 2007. Wild times. Cowboy hats.
Yeah, back when everything was black and white.
Oh, we were lunatics. We probably had horses we were traveling on. Insane time.
Wind up amps. Remember wind up amps?
Yeah, they hadn't invented backline yet.
we just had wind up amps back in 2007. Yeah. The thing is, there's going to be children listening to this who believe this.
Yeah, where did Mumford and Sons get the idea from? I'll tell you. Our dog is from.
Yeah, Mumford and Sons. They arc back to 2007 Gaslight Anthem. That's what it is.
Yeah,
that's what
they're getting. I'd like to talk to you, Marcus. Have a word.
I can just imagine people walking past the kebab place like on like a regular night thinking, what the hell's happening here? Like why is this?
It was weird. It was really weird. But you know, it was part of the process on the way to fame, you know, fortune.
Mm. That's true, yeah.
And now look at you.
Just another step on the staircase to heaven, you know.
Hey, it's a whole lot of love.
Yeah. That's great. It's great. Good love.
Everything. Nice.
Hey, he's got his guitar still.
They've recently found John Lennon's guitar that was missing for 50 years. So that was a thing today as well, that they're putting up for sale.
That's convenient.
Yeah.
my friends made a reel about it, and he posted because they were like, oh, 50 years since they found priceless guitar used on Hey Jude or whatever. And yeah, my friend's just done like a reel of him just pretending to be the people who have got the guitar, and his mother comes in and goes, have we got that John Lennon guitar? And it's like, how do you forget? How do you forget you've got one of John Lennon's guitars?
Oh, I have it. Oh, that thing? Oh, yeah.
Oh, the dusty thing on the wall.
Old sausage and mushroom John Lennon. You know what's funny, though? It's the sad thing. They better sell that thing quick, because these kids don't give a crap about John Lennon. the young kids. They don't care. So you better sell that thing.
Yeah. Also today I read that, the next generation is going to be the first generation who doesn't just blindly love the Beatles.
Yeah.
Because we had, like, I had my parents were telling me, like, my mother's got, like, loads of, like, the little tiny single vinyls from White Apple Records and all this stuff from the Beatles. And then, yeah, this next generation is going to be the first one that's like, I don't know. And people are going to,
yeah,
our generation's going to not pass it down, which is strange.
Yeah, well, you know, and they're going to go to space and cure cancer and stuff. So I guess he trained the Beatles for that.
Yeah, Elon Musk is going to nuke Mars to make Mars a liver. Oh, I've just had some fireworks go off.
Yeah.
I don't know, work for you? Nope.
No.
You haven't got the power.
No one
you
else.
Haven't got the power.
No one else.
I saw that.
Before we wrap this up as well, and you get to go and meet your sexy management.
Oh, yeah, but that's not who we're hiring. They're just coming to the meeting because it's very important business.
Very important, very sexy. We get it. You're returning to the UK in the summer for runner shows, and you're playing 2000 Trees Festival, headlining the first day, and there's so many people.
The best day.
The best day? Oh, it's you, Manchester Orchestra, Kids in Glass Houses, there's a whole lot of bands. But
yeah,
you're an artist, I think, so many people who go to that festival have always wanted to headline. I'm sure you've heard about it online and people tagging you and stuff. So it must be cool to be able to have an experience like that now and something different you're looking forward to.
Yeah, I mean, it's awesome. And I mean, we're friends with the Manchester band and it would be cool to, I'm going to actually see if Andy will do, maybe he'll do one of the songs with us. Or maybe I'll see which one, I'll see if he'll get down with it. I'll text him. I really like that band. It'd be cool. You know, I love it when bands that are like playing a festival, when they get together and like, maybe like, you know, like if I sing with them and then he sings with us. And I think it's cool to like have that, you know, kind of thing. And then, you know, maybe we'll invite the kids from Glass Houses, right? Is that what it is? Maybe we'll have a mushroom pizza.
I was going to say, well, yeah, we're going to be there with the podcast all weekend. So, yeah, if we see you, we'll have to share a sausage and mushroom slice.
I would be happy to talk to you again and there. You just come say hi. I'm not doing anything, you know. And I'll tell you, though, if you get there too late in the night.
Okay, game over.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
That's fair enough. That's fair. But also, I will give you the warning now. My hair is going to look like this. So you are going to be able to see me from a distance if you need to dip out real quick.
I love it. Okay, great.
Oh, Brian, honestly, thank you so much.
So good.
For taking the time and coming on. This is a bucket list one we've wanted to do. We've got a bunch of people who are so excited. There's even some of our Patreons who have literally obsessed with you, and they have photos of you in their house and all this, that they're going to be excited as well. So yeah, just thanks for taking the time.
That's awesome. I mean, thank you very much. That's nice to hear. I appreciate that. So thank you. All the other podcasts, they're terrible. I did one yesterday. Not as good as this one.
Oh, sorry.
But also, take that, pricks.
Yes.
Whoever they might be. I don't know. Yeah. I did one with someone called Zane Lowe for Apple Music. Yeah. He seems like a right wanker.
Zane Lowe? That guy's not having me on. He's too busy talking to Anthony Kiedis and such. Zane used to like us. Not anymore. He's too famous.
And that's the music industry.
You know what I'll tell you? Zane, this is to Zane. My message to Zane Lowe. My heart will go on. It's fine. Like me and Celine Dion, art will go on.
Well, there we are.
So thank you so much for your time. Thank you for the chat. Thank you for the music. Thank you for the inspiration over the years. And yes, cannot wait to see you soon.
Thank you. And tell Damon I said hi.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices.
Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
You're listening to Sappy Podcast!
Yes! Yes, yes, yes! That was the magical. And I don't know if he is magical, but he made me chuckle a lot and made me a lot happier than I was before we started the chat. Not that I was sad, but it was a very, very funny chat, as you have just heard. Thank you very much to the brilliant Brian Fallon and his team for helping us make this happen.
Yeah, we literally had tears in our eyes throughout this. There's moments where we literally had to wipe them away. He's laughing, we're laughing. It was just a really, really good time. He is someone we've honestly wanted on this podcast since day one. We've had so many requests for him. And it's great when things like this finally happen and we have the connection that we do. It's just nice to get them separated from normal kind of press sometimes and just have a laugh with two idiots on the other side of the pond.
Well, that's it. I think a lot of people that we haven't met yet, podcast-wise, this was a great example of... I've met Brian in 2013, years ago at Soundwave Festival, but didn't really get to chat much. And as soon as he came on and we did the usual spiel we do in the beginning, he got it. And he seemed to very much enjoy talking to us. So that was fucking awesome. His team were wonderful. And yeah. So, yeah, I look forward to the future and finally getting Fred Durst, hopefully.
Yeah, fingers crossed.
I reckon we'll get Bruce Springsteen before we get fucking Fred Durst.
Springsteen's in Cardiff this weekend. So maybe Brian's listening back to this and you can text him for us.
Oh, that's true, yeah. Brian, do us a favour, bud. Give the boss a fucking text, but there, will you? Tell him Sean Smith plus one, AAA. Oh, no, I've just said this. Look, listen, if you're listening to this and thinking about going to Cardiff Arena to steal my tickets of Bruce Springsteen, don't do it, please. Brian, tell him I'll show ID on the door for it. That's it. That's how we get out. But yeah, we'd love to speak to Bruce and John. I tell you what we should do. We should do a round table at some point. New Jersey's finest. We'll have John Bon Jovi, Bruce Springsteen and Brian Fallon on. Brian can sort that out because he's definitely said he would. He might not have said he would.
Well, I'm looking forward to that eventually. And trying
nice,
out, yeah, trying out the New Jersey pizza as well, old sausage and mushroom.
Yeah, well, yeah. If we get, I'd like to get Brian and John on an episode. But now we've done Brian on his own, we're halfway there.
No,
sorry about that. Sorry, let's move on quick before everybody leaves. Everybody stops listening. Keep listening, please. Keep listening.
If you're interested in other parts of the music industry, then this month we are teaming up with Pins and Knuckles merchandise, where we are showcasing different job roles in the industry and things that go along with it in music and touring and all that. I thought this week, as we're starting this new feature and these outros, that we'd start with merchandise in particular and merch sellers. Now, that's something very close to your heart, Sean, because your brother is renowned merch seller Jay Smith.
Oh, he is. Yes, he is. Yes. And that is a vital role nowadays in the music industry, is having a merch seller with you and on board and someone who will look out for you and fight your battles in the merch area. Because a lot of people don't understand, like, a lot of things go on, like, say now for festivals, when it comes to festivals, we've had to book two tables for Slam Dunk And yeah, it's about getting there early and trying to find a good spot where people are not coming to you last or whatever, or stuck in queues. And yeah, it's a very vital, a vital role, because nowadays merch is basically what keeps bands going, because of the lack of actual record sales happening anymore, and Spotify only paying Drake apparently, and probably Taylor Swift now. It's a vital role in the band team of things. It's not an easy job. I know a lot of people think, oh, it's just selling t-shirts, but it's not. It's literally, you've got to be up early when everybody's loading out to get the merch, get it to where you need it, set it up, undo all the boxes, put all the t-shirts into clumps of 5 or 10 or whatever in sizes. You've got to know what designs are where, how much everything costs. You've got to pin it all up. And then you've got to deal with scum for hours, which, you know, if you've met some of your friends, you will know that some of your friends are bastards. Like my friends, some of my friends are twats as well. Guess what? We've all got twats as friends. That's it. That's what being human is. But yeah, if you are a merch seller, you do have to deal with that. As well as the brilliant people, you do get some punishers as well. It is a vital, vital role. And at some point, we should get Jay on to talk about it, I think. We should
have a
look into it. Because he can definitely tell you more than me about what he does, obviously. But yeah, I cannot stress how vital a role merch seller is.
But as well, it does, I'm sure you've seen the different degrees of merch seller as well, because one who's very good at the job, obviously, they have to stay behind as well and count up and know how much they've sold, how much stock you got left for the next day, and if you're in the position where you can order more for a further date, you sort all that out. But as well, like, I know on the recent Blackout tour, there were some venues where they employ their own staff as merch sellers, which isn't necessarily best for the band. And there was one venue where Jay sold way more on his own than, was it like 4 or 5 people working for a venue?
I believe it was they had 4 people at Birmingham Academy working, selling merch, and that might have been our lowest selling one.
Wow.
Which was one of the biggest crowds as well, which is a strange thing. But also, the Academy does take 20%, I believe, of commission on that as well. So for not selling as much, they get 20% of them. It's fucking bonkers. It's absolutely bonkers. But yes, having your own merch person who you can trust completely. Because when we took Jay on, we were like, I remember the boy saying, can Jay do merch? And I was like, yeah, he can. Well, I mean, he can give t-shirts away if that's what you want him, if that's what you want him to do. Because I don't know if he can count. But it turns out, he got a calculator on his phone, haven't he? Like we all have nowadays. And I know a lot of bands starting out, they're like, oh, you know, we haven't got our own merch person or whatever. Even if it's just taking a friend along for the ride and someone who you trust with your money, get them involved, because it's worth it to have a person there. And also, yeah, it does help if the person's got a nice personality and is approachable as well.
Yeah.
Because if they're a bastard, you know, you don't want to go near them, do you? So,
don't deal with what you want. No, can't have it.
Yeah.
shout out to Nikki Kilroy as well, who I think is a merch seller who has managed to combine all of those skills that you mentioned, and someone who's really grafted in one of those roles. We've seen her do merch from everyone, from kind of Hold an Absence to Alpha Wolf, Defy. There's a bunch. I'm sure you've all encountered her buying a t-shirt along the way. But yeah, thanks to Pins and Knuckles for helping us out with this introductory into other aspects of the role. And for all your merchandise needs, go and check out pinsandknucklesmerchandise.com. They did our recent shirts and stickers as well. So
which flew out and look fucking lovely. So yes, thank you very much, Pins and Knuckles, for helping us out. And yeah, good idea on putting a spotlight on other bastards in the industry. That's what I call them, the other bastards. I don't call them that.
If you'd like us to have more guests with it in this kind of world, let us know at SapmanPod on Instagram and the app formerly known as Twitter. And if you'd like to get involved with the podcast a little more, maybe make some friends, maybe get some even more bonus content, and have a laugh for festival season, come and join our Patreon page at patreon.com /Sapnin. It is honestly the best way to keep this thing going each and every week. And we love every single person who's combined it into this mad family that we've somehow gotten out of it. It's just so grateful, and it blows our mind every single day to see them interact. So come and join all the fun at patreon.com/Sapnin. If you head to the description of this episode, there's loads of names there that we thank. But as always, Sean is going to give a mahoosive shout out to the elite members of our Patreon family.
Yes! Thank you very much, Kylie Wheeler, Mayumi, Paul Hirschfield, Scarlett Charlton, Nathan Croshaw, Mitch Perry, Tony Michael, Dilla Califragilistic, X Bella Grimwood, Liam Connolly, Amy Louise, Molly Malloy, James Bowerbank, Kat Bess, and Alexander Pemberton. Nothing Minor has a bassist. Yes! Jonathan Gutierrez, who's going to send me some coffee because I sent him my address yesterday or the day before. Thank you very much, Jenny Robinson, Amy Dawson, Murray Grimwood, Pick It Up, Pick It Up, Pick It Up, Pick It Up, which is Scott Jones. Thank you very much, Stuart McNaught, Ellen Southfield, Callie Robson, Stephen Aston, Kate Puttock, Jenny Munster, Carl Pendlebury, Louis Cook, James McNaught, John and Emma, Jason Heredia, Danny Eaton, Martina McManus, Sean Foynes, Thomas O'Neill, Evan, Dan Peregrine, Ollie Amesbury, Emily Perry, Kalila Keane, Adam King of the Goss Parslow, Sophie Ansell, Josh, what do you call a French guy being mauled by a lion? Claude? Chris? Fucking, thank you very much. You fucked me up now. Thank you very much. Lavender Lee Martin, Vicky, Laura Russell, Fraser Cummins, you got a new nickname. Razor Cummins. Ra, James. Kyle, King of the Sloth Smith. That's his words, not mine. Connor Lewin's family. And last but no means least, the mighty Amy Hogg. Thank you very much for joining our Patreon.
Woo! We love every single person there. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Festival season is right around the corner. It's getting a very, very busy time. But we'll be back next week and every Friday with more special guests and laughs and silly stories to keep you entertained in this mad life that keeps dragging on each and every week.
Yes. Yes, we will. We're losing our minds, I think.
You're listening to Sapnin Podcast with Sean Smith and Morgan Richards. Thank you very much for downloading this podcast or streaming it, or I don't know what else you do with podcasts. Thank you very much.